Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Lamed Aled. We are four lines from the top of the Amud Esvei. What happened was that Rav Papa quoted Rav Yirmiyah as saying that we can apply the concept of Hoyel to Erev Tchumen. He was speaking specifically in a case where a person placed his bread in a basket and hung it up high on a tree. It is Rishus HaYachid, and he'd like to use that food, that Erev, to activate his Erev, his Shvisa, his place of residence below, down Rishus HaRabim. Generally speaking, the food must be present in the location of the actual place of residence, the Makom Shvisa. Rishus tells us in this case no concern because, theoretically, he can access his food from where he is. How? By tilting that basket towards him and bringing his bread down. So Rav Yirmiyah applies the concept of Hoyel, since theoretically he can do something to access his food from his Makom Shvisa, that is sufficient to activate the Erev. So Rav Papa quoted Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Bar Shava asked him a kasha from a Braisa, and here he's going to ask him another kasha from another Braisa. Esvei asked him a kasha on this concept of Hoyel. We seem to see from this coming Braisa that Hoyel cannot be applied to Erev Tchumen. The Braisa says, Niskavan Lishbois Rishus HaRabim, if he intended on establishing his Makom Shvisa in Rishus HaRabim, right on the street, V'yiniach Eruv HaBekoisel, but he placed his food, his Erev, in a wall. So it depends where he placed it. Lamata Masar Tfachim, if it was below the 10 Tefach mark, in which case it's within the jurisdiction of Rishus HaRabim, Eruv HaErev, then it's okay because his Shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim, and likewise his Erev is in Rishus HaRabim, so they're both in the same location. Lamalam Yutfachim, however, he places Erev in a wall above 10 Tfachim, in which case it is a Rishus HaYachid, a Eruv HaErev, then it doesn't work because his Shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim, his food is elsewhere, in Rishus HaYachid, he has no access to it. Therefore, it cannot activate his Erev. Continues the Braisa with another case. Let's say this time he intended on making his Makom Shvisa up on the Roish of the Shevach. Shevach is his birdhouse. So up on top, which is a Rishus HaYachid. Or the Roish HaMigdol, on top of a closet. So here we have the Makom Shvisa on a Rishus HaYachid. And he places Erev in a wall nearby. Lamalam Yutfachim. So in this case, it will come out in the reverse. If the Erev was up high on that wall, Lamalam Yutfachim, above 10 Tfachim, where it's a Rishus HaYachid, then you're okay. Eruv Erev, then it works, because the Erev is in Rishus HaYachid, and likewise, this fellow is being Shevis on top of this closet, which is Rishus HaYachid. Lematam Yitfachim, however, if the Erev is below 10 Tfachim, so it's sitting, let's say, 9 Tfachim above the ground, where it's considered Rishus HaRabim, Rashi says it's, for instance, a place where the Rabim, it's publicly used, they use it to adjust their loads, and therefore it's considered Rishus HaRabim. In this case, it doesn't work because the Erev is in Rishus HaRabim, in contrast to this person who is being Shevis up on top of this closet, which is a Rishus HaYachid. Says the Gemara V'amai, but why is this a problem? Hachi Nami Neimer. Here as well, we can apply the concept of Hoyel. Let's say since Hoyel V'Yachil in Toisai, since he has the ability to lean the closet over, Lovil Techasorah, and bring it down within 10 tefach of the ground, meaning, although his Makom Shvisa was up on the top of the closet, top surface, which is beyond Rishus HaRabim, it's 10 tefach above the ground. And his Erev was situated nearby in a wall, which was merely 9 tefach of the ground, which is considered Rishus HaRabim. But since he can't theoretically tilt that closet sideways, so that the top surface dips down below 10 tefachim and reaches the Rishus HaRabim, in this case, he'll have access to his Erev. So if he applied the concept of the oil, since theoretically he can do something to bring his Erev closer to him, or himself closer to his Erev, that is sufficient to activate the Erev. So here as well, why can't he do that? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yirmiyah. You're right, generally speaking, Hoyel can be applied. This is Rav Yirmiyah himself answering. Hoyel can be applied, for instance, in the case of the basket, he can tilt it downward, that's okay. Hacha b'migdol mesumer askinan. You know, we're speaking about a migdal, a closet which was mesumer, which was nailed into the ground, and therefore, it's not portable. It's immobile, they can't go and tilt it. So it's a practical impediment that's preventing him from accessing the food of his Erev. Rava Amar Afilu Teima B'Migdal She'Einu Mesumer. Even if we're speaking about a Migdal which was not hammered into the ground, it's portable. V'Hacha B'Migdal Oruch Haskinan. We're speaking about a tall closet, which creates a problem. D'Imamti Le'Porto, because even if he tilts it just a bit, meaning he'd like to get the top surface to dip down below 10 Tefachim, to get it equal with the Erev, it's going to leave the original 4 Amos. And therefore, it's invalid for the Erev. Meaning, you have the closet, and the top surface of the closet is considered to be his Makam Shvisa. That's where he establishes his place of residence. And his Erev is nearby. Problem is, the Erev is at the 9 Tefach Mark, which is Shisa Rabbah. Now, when he begins tilting this closet, so the top surface dips down below 10, since it's a very tall closet, once he begins tilting it and gets it to below 10, that top surface of that closet has been removed from the original Makam Shvisa, which was here. It's out of the 4 Amos of that Makam Shvisa. So it's out of bounds. It's not within the original area of his Makam Shvisa. So his original Makam Shvisa cannot access, does not have proper access to his Erev. It's only if he tilts it away from his original Makam Shvisa, then he can access his Erev. His Erev, and that's ineffective. The Erev needs to be accessible to the original Makam Shvisa, the place where he actually establishes his Shabbos residence. As opposed to this case, where if you apply the concept of oil, and you view the closet as though it's been tilted sideways, you need to move away drastically from your original Makam Shvisa out of the original 4 Amos. So the original 4 Amos don't really have access to the Erev, and therefore, in this case, the Erev doesn't work. Continues the Gemara, Hechi Dami. Now, what are we speaking about? Idika Kavso Misna. If there is a window in this closet through which he can access the food in the wall, Umasno Misna Ore, and he has a rope which he can tie to the food of the Erev. What it means is like this. If he theoretically can have access to his Erev during Bein HaShemashos, for instance, if there's a window within that closet, so some of Farshim explained that in this case you don't actually need a window because his Makam Shvisa is on top of the closet. The Mishnah is addressing a case where he was Shavis inside the closet. He needs to have a window through which he can access the food of the Erev, which is in the wall. Umasnan, he has a rope which he can attach to that Erev. Now, the halacha is, if a person is sitting in Rosh Hashayachat and he's holding on to a rope which is tied to an object which is present in Rosh Hashanah, min ha-Torah, he can go ahead and pull that item to him because it's called Iguda B'Yadai. It's partially still in his hands. It's not really situated in Rosh Hashanah. He's holding on to it. So min ha-Torah, he can go retrieve that Erev, even if the Erev is sitting on a wall which is Rosh Hashanah, and he's in the Migdal which is Rosh Hashanah. So min ha-Torah, he can retrieve it. It's only Issa D'Rabbanan. Now, we mentioned earlier that following Shitas Rebbe, who holds that Issa D'Rabbanan, a Shavuos, will not apply during Bein HaShemashos, which is the twilight zone between Friday and Shabbos, when the Erev is actually activated. So since he has access to the Erev, at that point in time, he can freely pull it in, retrieve the Erev from where it is to the closet. Says the Gemara, if so, the Erev should be valid, because he has full access to the food of his Erev, where he is, inside the Migdal, on top of the Migdal. Says, what type of case are we speaking about? If there's a window and a rope, let him go retrieve the Erev using the Kafsa and the Misna. Says, the Lesli Kafsa Misna, apparently we're speaking about, there's no window or rope. So the Erev is sitting out in the Shesa Rabim, and he's in the Shesa Yachid, and therefore the Erev does not work. So in summary, the Gemara concludes, Haya will work. But practically speaking, in this case, where he was sitting on the Migdal and the Erev was nearby in Rosh Hashanah, there's a problem here. Either we're speaking about a Migdal which was immobile, it was nailed to the ground so you can't tilt it over to the food, or we're speaking about a very tall Migdal, in which case, even if you would tilt it in order to get the top surface of that Migdal to dip down below 10 Tefachim, it's going to be removed drastically from the original Makam Shvisa, out of 4 Amos of the original Makom Shvisa. Therefore, it doesn't work because the Erev, the food of the Erev needs to be accessible at the point of Ben Hashmashes to the original Makom Shvisa, which in this case won't work because the original Makom Shvisa is Rosh Hashayachid and the Erev is sitting in Rosh Hashanah. So summary, we have two cases in the Braisa. The Braisa begins with a case that he was Shoyvis in Rosh Hashanah, placed his Erev on a wall. The Braisa says, well, if the Erev is within 10 Tfachim to the ground, which is Rosh Hashanah, it will work. If it's up above, beyond 10 Tfachim, then the Erev is Rosh Hashanah, and he's Rosh Hashanah, won't work. In the opposite case, where he was Shoyvis on the Rosh Hashanah, on this Migdal, and his Erev was nearby, so if the Erev is above 10 Tfachim, in which case he and the Erev are on the same Rosh Hashanah, then it's okay. But it's below 10 Tfachim, in which case the Erev is Rosh Hashanah, and he's Rosh Hashanah, in this case, the Erev will not work. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah told us in Son of Ebar, Afilu Omek Mei Amma. He placed the Erev in a deep pit, 100 Amma is deep, then it's okay. Now, apparently, the Mishnah is teaching us a novelty, a chiddush. Even a deep pit can accommodate the Erev. Says the Gemara, let's analyze the case. Hai Bar Dekoyecha. Where was this pit located? Ilema Dekoye B'Shus HaYachid. If it was in an enclosed area in B'Shus HaYachid. Pshita. And of course, why would I think that an Erev in a deep pit in Rosh Hashayachad would be problematic? If his Makam Shvisa is in an enclosed area, and his Erev is sitting in a pit within that enclosed area, it could be as deep as you want. The entire area is one single domain of Rosh Hashayachad, and he and his Erev are in the same Rishus. Pshita, Rosh Hashayachad, Oida Ad L'Rakia. We know that Rosh Hashayachad extends upward until the heavens. V'cheyeche D'Sakal El, just as it extends upward, limitless, hachanami denachsa l'tachas. Likewise, it descends downward, 100 amas deep. There's no difference between going up and going down. Therefore, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? It places in a bur, even if 100 amas deep, then it works. It's all the same thing. It's all Rosh Hashayachad. V'ela dekoy v'shesaram. Apparently, we're speaking about that the bur was situated in a public area, v'shesaram, and the bur itself, which is 10 tefachim deep, is Rosh Hashayachad. Let's analyze the case. In the Skava Lishbeis Hecha, where did he intend on being Shavus? Meaning, where did he establish his Shabbos residence? Ilim Malo, if he intended on being Shavus on top, meaning outside of the Bar Unshus Aravim, then we have a problem. Hu b'Makom Echad, this fellow is situated in one Rishus, Unshus Aravim, Ve'iru v'Makom Echad Acheru, and his Erev down in the pit is in a different location, Unshus Hayachad, he has no access to it. And it cannot be chal. It cannot generate an Erev Tumen. Ilamata. Shall we say that he intended on establishing his Makom Shvisa down, below in the pit? Here again, Pshita. Then of course it would work. Huvei Ruvei v'Makom Echad. This person and his Erev are both situated in the same location. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? If you place the Erev in a deep pit, it works. Why would I think otherwise? Anyway, Srich, apparently we're speaking about the Dekoy B'Karmelis. This bar was situated in a Karmelis, an open area, a field area. And the bar itself, of course, is a Rosh Hashayachad, because it's a pit which has at least 10 Tfachim in depth. So it creates its new entity, Rosh Hashayachad. So we have a pit, which is Rosh Hashayachad, situated in a field, which is a Karmelis. Vinis Gavon Lishbeis L'malo. And he established his Shvisa on top, meaning outside the bur, which is a Karmelis. So he's in a Karmelis, and his Erev is down in a pit, in a bur, which is a Sayachid. Here the Mishnah is teaching us a Chiddush. Although it seems like the person and his Erev are situated in two different areas, two different locations. He's in a Karmelis, his Erev is in a pit, which is very deep, meaning it's a Sayachid. Nevertheless, it works. V'Rebbe, we're following Shitas Rebbe, the Omar Kodover, Shum Shum Shvus. Anytime we have an Issa de Rabbanon on Shabbos, like Gozal Ben Hashmashes, this was not applied to Ben Hashmashes, which is the moment in time when the Erev gets activated. And since transferring the Erev from the Bur, which is Rosh Hashayachad, over to the Makam Shvisa, outside the Bur, which is the Karmelis, only entails an Issa de Rabbanon. So since this Issa de Rabbanon does not apply to Ben Hashmashes, which is the point when the Erev is activated, we say that this Erev is valid and it works following Shitas Rebbe. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. He was in a Karmelis, his Erev was sitting in a bur, but not just a shallow bur, which is perhaps a kindness, but a deep bur, which is 10 tefachim or more, which is a Rishis HaYachid, we say the Erev works. Continues the Mishnah. The Sanei B'Reish HaKana, if you place the Erev on top of a pole, a reed, a bamboo stick, Oy B'Reish HaKundis, on top of some type of branch, and his Makam Shvisa was down below in the Rishis HaRav. Says the Mishnah, Bizman Shu Tolush V'Notz. When these branches, when these bamboos were tallish, detached from the ground, they're not growing out of the ground, v'notz, and they were simply inserted into the ground, so we have detached branches. In this case it works, afilu gavoyakuf amma, even if it's 100 amas high, harei ze'erev, the erev works. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is four lines from the top of the amud, masnisim. Kundas ploibalaz ve'enu mechubarim, they're not attached to the ground, they're not growing currently from the ground. Ubegemar parich, the Gemara is going to ask a kasha. Why do we insist, why does the Mishnah stipulate that these things were detached from the ground? Let's say they were still growing out of the ground. Generally, a person is not meant to use a tree growing out of the ground. But we just established that our Mishnah is following Shita's Rebbe, who says that an Issa D'Rabbanan, such as making use of a tree, is Mutar Ben Hashmashes, which is the moment when the Erev is activated. So why does the Mishnah stipulate that this branch needs to be detached from the ground? You've just told me that the Reisha, meaning the first portion of the Mishnah, on the Aflamet Beis, is Rebbe's Shita. The Amar Le'gozer B'Mechub Ben Hashmashes, who says that the Chacham would not, Gozer, did not prohibit using something attached to the ground, Ben Hashmashes. So we're going to get to that. Continues Rashi, Afilu Gavoy Me'am. So even if this branch is 100 amas high, but since at the bottom, with it connects to Rishis Rabbim, it doesn't have a width of 4 tefachim, it's not considered Rishis Yachad. Although on top, you have a surface of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, which is required for the placement of the Erev. The Erev al gabi makam dal binan. Because this we learned earlier, the Erev which is placed up high in the air needs to be placed on a makam chashav, on a surface area of 4 by 4 tefachim. This was Shittas of Yehuda, we learned that earlier. Despite the fact that the makam, the Erev here, is a wide surface area, nevertheless, as Rashi, it's not a sayacha because it's suspended midair. The pole is a narrow pole, and therefore, since where it reaches Ram down below, it's a narrow pole, it's not 4 tefachim wide, it does not generate a sayachid, and therefore the Erev is valid, although he is sitting on the Rishis HaRabim, as the Erev is up high on the pole, they're both considered to be in the same Rishis HaRabim. Continues the Gemara. Rambile Rav Adar Bar Masna Rava. So Rav Adar Bar Masna asked the Kasha to Rava. This was the Kasha which Rashi referenced. The Mishnah says if he placed his Erev on a kana, on this bamboo, which was Tolush Vinod in, only if it was detached from the ground and it was inserted, then it's okay. Loi Tolush Vinod Loi, but otherwise it's no good, meaning if it's still growing out of the ground, this Erev doesn't work. Apparently because it's also to use something which is mechubal karka. Now, although the Erev needs to be activated ben hashmashes, apparently there's an issa to use a mechubal karka during ben hashmashes. Mani rabbani. Apparently, we found she's rabbanon the amri called avishu mishum shavus. Even issa the rabbanon gozel ben hashmashes applies to ben hashmashes as well. So this part of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to call it the seifa. Apparently, the Mishnah had two parts. The part that we just learned is called the seifa of the Mishnah. And the earlier portion of the Aflamet Beis was called the Reish of the Mishnah. So the Seif of the Mishnah is Rabbanim, who say that an Issa Shvus applies to Ben Hashmashes. Therefore, we insist that this pole be detached from the ground. For Amrus, Reisha Rebbe. But you've said that the Reisha is following Shittas Rebbe, who holds that the Shvus does not apply to Ben Hashmashes. Says the Gemara, Reisha Rebbe, v'seif Rabbanim. So we say that the first part is Rebbe, who holds that Shavuos doesn't apply ben Hashmashes, and therefore he can place the Erev in the pit, although it requires transferring to the Karmelis, or we have the other case of placing it on the tree as well, which was within 10 tefachim to the Rishis HaRabim, and it involved the Issa Rabbanan because he's going to have to remove from the tree. So we have two cases in the Reish of the Mishnah which reflect Rebbe's Shita, the Sefer Rabbanan, and this part of the Mishnah, reflects Shitas Rabbanan. Therefore, we stipulate that the branch needs to be detached from the ground. Otherwise, you can't use the branch. So it seems to be inconsistent. First part of the Mishnah is Rebbe, second part is Rabbanan. Amar Lei, so Rabbi responded, yeah. Kva Rami Lei, Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chizda. This same Kasha was already asked by Rami Bar Chama, Rav Chizda, Vishanel, and indeed he answered him, Reisha Rebbe, Vesefer Rabbanan. First part reflects Rebbe, and the second part of Mishnah reflects Shitas Rabbanan. Rabina Amar, Kula Rebbe. Entire Mishnah reflects Rebbe's Shita, who holds that a Shvus does not apply Ben Hashemashmas. So what is the Pshat in our Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah insist that this Kana be detached from the ground? Because in this case, we have a special concern. We have an added concern above and beyond your typical tree usage. V'seifa, Gzeira Shema Yiktim. There's an additional concern that since we're speaking about just a bamboo, he might be inclined to trim it. So, for instance, instead of troubling himself to go climb up and get his Erev, which is all the way up on the Kana, he'll trim it, he'll snip the bamboo, and bring down the Erev in this manner. So this is different than your typical standard tree, where there's no Issa ben Hashemashes. The concern there is that when he climbs up on the tree, he might want to make himself comfortable and pull off a branch, pull off a leaf. That only applies to a tree. And that tree, in that case, Rebbe holds the Isser doesn't apply ben Hashemashes, because it's just a minimal concern. Whereas when we're speaking about a bamboo, where it's actually very convenient just to snip the bamboo and bring down the Erev, even Rebbe would agree that is an Isser to use this Ben HaShemashes, and that is the Pshat Na'am Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 10 lines from the top of the Amud, beginning with the word Gemara. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, if we're following Shita's Rebbe, who holds that one can use a tree during Ben HaShemashes, how do we understand the Mishnah, which says, Tolosh V'notz, only when it's detached, Hu Dave Erev, Aval Mechuber, but if it's still attached to the ground, lo yaveh erev, then it does work. Why? Mishum. Dechi shakele mishtamesh be'ilam. Because when he's going to remove that erev, he's have access to his food. So when he has access, when he removes the erev, he's going to be using the tree. So apparently, there's an issue to use the tree even ben hashmashes. How does this work with Shitas Rebbe? And the Gemara tells us, we have an answer. That when we're speaking about a standard tree, indeed, Rebbe does not subscribe to an issue there. Whereas when we're speaking about this kana, where a person may be more inclined to trim it and snip it to get his Erev, even Rebbe would agree there's an issa to use this Ben HaShemashes. Gzeir Shama Yiktim. Because this kana is relatively soft. Ikele Migzer Shama Yiktim. There's a concern that he might trim it. Gishakale when he removes his Erev. Aval Ilon Kashu. However, your standard tree is a hard tree. Uben HaShemashes. L'shema Yalav Yitlish Techashinan. And we're not concerned that during Ben HaShemashes he'll get up and pull off a branch when he climbs up that tree. Rebbe does not hold that there's an Isser there. In contrast to the reed, which is different, Aval Ktimas Kana, Vadahi. However, when it comes to trimming the Kana, that's a real, very real concern. I did the Rekicha Miktima, due to the fact that it's soft and easily trimmed, perhaps he'll go ahead and trim it to remove this Erev. In which case, it would involve an Isser Min HaTorah. Because actually trimming the kana is a melach of kaitzer. That's not really issa drabbanon. V'lav shvusu, that's not just issa drabbanon. Ela melacha, it's a real melacha, the machayim shum kaitzer. So since placing an erev on a kana, which is attached to the ground, entails an additional concern, a very real chashash, that he might actually trim that kana while he's removing the erev. Trimming a kana is a melacha of kaitzer. So even Rebbe agrees that concern applies even ben hashmashes. That's the pshat in the Sefer. The Mishnah tells us they can't place an Erev on an attached Kana. In contrast to the Reisha, we're speaking about your hard standard tree, a hard tree, and the concern there is now he's going to snip the tree, but perhaps he's going to climb up, and while he's doing so, he might make himself comfortable, pull off a branch, pull off a leaf, and that's only a minimal chashash, a minimal concern. And Rebbe holds that Issa will not apply Ben HaShemashes. Continues the Gemara, who pull Musa? The Aslan Hadar. There was this group of Chayil HaMelech, Rashi says, a group of soldiers who arrived at Nahadar and they crowded the area. There wasn't enough room for the Talmidim to sit and learn. Amalar of Nachman. So Rav Nachman told this Talmidim, Puka, go out, Avidu Kvushi, Kavshi Ba'agma. Avidu Kvushi, go and push down, press down, Kavshi Ba'agma. Kavshi means the press down reeds in the swamp. She go ahead and make some pressed down reeds, konim, so that we can have a place to sit ulamachar, so that tomorrow Neza will go out, but Neza Balai will go sit on them. So go create a convenient place so that we can sit and learn. So we see that he can go ahead and sit on these konim, on these reeds, which have been pressed down, although they're still attached to the ground. Eisvei Rami Bar Chama Rav Nachman. So Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Nachman a kasha. V'amrila, some say it was Rav Ukra Bar Abba Rav Nachman. How can one use these reeds, which are still attached to the ground? We have a Mishnah which says that an Erev can only be placed on a kana, which was detached, tolish. Only if it was detached for noits and inserted into the ground, in, then it can be used. Loi tolish for noits, loi, but otherwise you can't. So we see that a kana, a reed, is classified like an elon, like a tree. In which case it's included in the Issa D'Rabbanan, who say, Eimish dam shem be'ilon, one cannot use a tree on Shabbos. Amar lei, so Rav Nachman responded, there's a difference. Hasam, the case now Mishnah is speaking about bu'uzridin, we're speaking about konim, these bamboo sticks, which have already hardened, which have already developed, and they're classified as trees, in which case they're included in the Issa D'Rabbanan, who prohibit using a tree on Shabbos. In contrast to our case, where they were merely soft and flimsy and pliable, in which case they were classified as vegetation, as yurak, as vegetables, and therefore there's no issa d'rabbanon when it comes to using these things. The rabbanon only made an issa on something which is hard. You might go climb up on it and make yourself comfortable, pull out some branches, but something which is soft and pliable was never included in the issa d'rabbanon. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So if you take a look at the left side here in Rashi column, just go 7 lines up, beginning with the word uzridin. So this is Rav Nachman speaking, that the case of the Mishnah was speaking about hardened konim. Shehuk shekvar, she already developed and become hard. Harei ki'ilan, they regard as a tree. V'chisharina, the case that I allowed, was b'she'en uzradin. They were not yet hardened. Boishak ha'konim urachim, but they were still soft. That was kiyork, they're like vegetables, like vegetation. U'b'yerek le'yiskiru chom shvus. Chom never applied the isser of using a plant or a tree when it concerns vegetation, grass, and the likes of something which is soft and not hard like a tree. So this is Rav Nachman's distinction. Something hard is considered like an ilan, in which case it's an isser. Something which is soft and regarded like yerek is mutter. U'manat hemra, how do you know the shanilan? That we can differentiate bein uzradin l'she'en uzradin. When it comes to the same type of product, same pole, the same kana. Well, you're making that distinction. If it's still undeveloped and soft and pliable, we regard it and classify it like a yurak, like a vegetable, like a vegetation. It was never included in the Isser. As opposed to Izradin, in which case they've been developed and hardened, now you classify like an ila, like a tree. How do you know to make that chiluk in the same plant? At one point it's considered like a yurak, at one point like an ilan. Says more, yes, we find elsewhere, pertaining to the aloch of kalayim, the same kana, the same bamboo stick. When it's soft, it's considered like a yarak. When it's hard, like ilan. The sanya, as we learned, hakonin, these poles, these reeds, the itadin vahigan, different types of bushes, min ilanhein. They're classified as a tree species. Ve'enon kalayim bekerem. And one can plant them in a vineyard because a tree in a vineyard is not considered kalayim. Only yarak and grain are considered to be kalayim bekerem, but these konim, etc., which are classified as a min ilan, pose no concern with regard to planting in a vineyard. So here we have the konim classified as a ilan, v'tani idach. We have another braisa which classifies the konim as a yerek, hakonim, v'akidon, that's a type of incense, v'urvanin, some say it's an arava, some type of arava plant. So here we have the konim listed in the second braisa, min yarakain. All these are considered a type of yarak, type of vegetable vegetation. Ve'kalayim bekerem. And one cannot plant them in a kerem. Kashi adadi. We seem to have a kasha from the first braisa, who tells us that ikona is considered min ilan, classified as a tree. In contrast to the second braisa, which classifies it as a yarak. Elosh mamana, apparently there's a difference. Kan b'zradin, the first braisa which classified it as an ilan, was referring to hardened bamboo sticks. Kan Mishain was brought in the second bryce, which regarded as a yarek, was speaking about undeveloped kanim, which are considered like a yarek. Shmamino, indeed, we have a conclusive raya from here to differentiate between soft and hard kanim. Continues more, one more thing. Vikida ben yareku? In the second brysa, we listed kida as a type of yarek. Is that the case? Vatnan, ein markivin pegam al gabe keda levona. One cannot graft pegam, this type of plant, together with the kida levona. So this is a form of kalim, to graft two species, two minim together. One cannot do that, but pneishu yarek b'ilan. Because you're grafting the kida, which is a type of vegetable, yarek, b'ilan, in the kida levona, which is a type of tree. See, here we see that kida is a tree and not a yarek. On our papa, it depends what type of kida. There are two varieties. Kida lechud, the kida levona lechud. Kida, just plain kida, indeed is regarded as a yarek. In the Mishnah, where we see that the kida levona is considered an ilan, kida levona lechud, that's a different type of variety. It's a kida levona, which indeed is considered to be a min ilan. So in summary, with regards to the kanim, the Gemara made that differentiation for us. If they're hardened, there was rodden, in which case they're classified as a tree. So we learn that they don't pose kelaim, a concern of kelaim by a kerem, because they're considered to be an ilan. And when it comes to using on Shabbos, we're not allowed to use these hardened kanim on Shabbos. They're classified as an ilan. And the Gemara tells us a chiddush, even according to Rebbe, who generally does not apply the Issa d'Rabbanan during Ben HaShemashes. But in this case, there's an added concern. Since it's merely a kana, which can be easily trimmed and snipped, there's a concern that he might do that, even Ben HaShemashes, which involves a melacha d'oraisa, and therefore, Gemara tells us that one cannot place an erev on top of a kana for concern that it might lead him to do melacha. Gemara tells us about the kanim, which are not uzradin, which are rach, which are soft, they're regarded as a yarek, as vegetation, and therefore one cannot place them in a kerem for concern of kalayim, and one may actually use them on Shabbos, such as in the story of Nachman and Talmidim. They bent over these kanim, these soft reeds, and sat on them on Shabbos, because they're not considered like ilan, they're merely considered like vegetation, which was never included in the Issa d'Rabbanan, which disallowed using a tree on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah. Nisani b'migdol. If this person places Erev in a closet, in this type of structure, v'avad hamavteach, and he lost the key to the migdol, in which case he has no access to his food. Now we're speaking about a case where the migdol was in Shayachit, and his makam shvis is in Shayachit. There's no concern of the food being in a different rishus of the person. But the problem here is that, practically speaking, he has no access to his food because it's in this locked closet. Harei ze erev, says the Mishnah, it works. I think we'll explain for us how. He doesn't know that the key is in its place, meaning he has no access to the key. He lost the key. And the only way he can access his food is by breaking apart this structure, ein erev. Rebbeleza says this erev doesn't work. Says the Gemara, Vamai, why does the Tanakhama tell us that when the food is sitting in this locked migdal, it can work as an erev? Vamai, hu b'makam echad. This fellow is situated in one location, ve'iru b'makam acharu, and his erev, his food, is sitting in a different location. It's inaccessible, it's inside the closet. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Dami Tavai, they both explained as follows. Hacha, the migdal shel levein maskinan. We're speaking about the migdal, which was actually a structure comprised of bricks. The Gemara will tell us that the bricks were uncemented to each other, so they're just loosely lying bricks. Rav Meir, and the Tanakhama Mishnah is actually Rav Meir. The Omar Poiches Lechatchila Benoito. Rav Meir says one can go ahead and actually, we're speaking at Yom Tov, he can actually remove those bricks to access his food, because although it's considered to be at least midirabbanan, like he's demolishing, he's doing soiser, and also the bricks are muktzah. Nevertheless, Rameya says one can go ahead and do that on Yom Tov. This nun buys shemil eyu peiros. He filled up a room with fruit. Sosam, it was completely closed up, meaning he had no access to his fruit. The door got locked, he lost the key. V'nifchas, and somehow the wall came apart. Noitel mokapchas, he's allowed to reach in and take some fruit out of there. Now, what is the chiddush here? That we don't say that the fruit inside is muktzah, despite the fact that it was inaccessible until the bricks decided to fall apart. We don't consider that food to be unprepared for Shabbos and considered to be muktzah, or speaking at Yom Tov. We don't consider it to be muktzah. Why? Because Rashi explains the following sheet is Reb Shimon, who says that something which is merely lacking preparation is not considered to be off limits on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's the sheet of Tanakam. If the wall came apart, then he can go and access his fruit. Reb Meir Omer, poiches v'noitel chatchila. He can initially go ahead, remove the bricks to access his food. He can even do this lechatchila, poiches v'noitel, and go remove his fruit. So that's the pshat in our Mishnah as well. We're speaking on a similar situation. So his food is stuck inside this migdal. We're following Shitas Reb Meir, who says he can go ahead and take apart the wall to access his food. So the food of the air is fully accessible, and therefore the air works. Says the Gemara, V'Amar Rav Nachman Barad, Amar Shmuel, he told us that the case over there, the Mishnah and Beitza, regarding that bias, was speaking about Bavira de Livni, was speaking about uncemented bricks, which doesn't involve an Isser of Soyser Melach of demolishing Min HaTorah. So only there a mayor allows. How can you compare it to our case? Says Mar Chanam here as well, was speaking about Bavira de Livni, a similar situation where we have uncemented bricks. So that's the Pshat now Mishnah. He can remove those uncemented bricks to access his Erev. And apparently Rav Blezer disagrees, he holds. For some reason, you cannot remove those bricks. It's Muksa, they did not allow it for the sake of accessing his food. Says the Gemara, V'omer Rav Zeira, B'yom Tov Amru. Didn't Rav Zeira explain to us that that Mishnah, where it may allow removing the bricks, only pertains to Yom Tov? With the Chacham allowed, on account of Simchas Yom Tov, to remove the bricks which are Muksa. I'm going to live on Shabbos, but one cannot do that on Shabbos. And apparently Rav Blezer disagrees. He holds that even on Yom Tov, you can't do that. Says Rav Chanami b'Yom Tov. Apparently, our Mishnah is speaking about Yom Tov. So, in summary, at this point in the Gemara, our Mishnah is speaking about an Erev which was established for Yom Tov, was sitting in this locked room which was constructed with these uncemented bricks. Tanakama, whose Ramei allows removal of those bricks, we do away with Issa Mukta for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov, and therefore he has full access to his Erev, and his Erev works. Rav Leza disagrees. He holds that one cannot remove those bricks even though they're uncemented. This is discussed in the Gemara Beitza. What is the reasoning of the two shitas? But in any case, Rav Leza disallows the access to the Erev because he can't remove those bricks. Therefore, Rav Leza says, unless he has the actual key in his possession, this Erev doesn't work due to the fact that the Erev is inaccessible. Says the Gemara, okay, so we're speaking about uncemented bricks. We're speaking about Yom Tov. If that's the case, how are we going to explain the following braisa, which actually makes reference to the case, this very case discussed in our Mishnah? And the Bible says as follows. Reb Lezer Omer, Im be'ir avad, eru ve'irv. If he lost the key somewhere in the city, then it works, the Erev works. Vim besada avad, but if he lost the key out in the field, in which case the key is inaccessible, ein eru ve'irv, then the Erev doesn't work. So this is Reb Lezer disagrees with the Tanakam Ozer Meir, and he says, look, you have to have access to your key. If he lost the key in the city, then you have access to the key, and it works. But otherwise, if it's out in the field, you can't retrieve that key. You can't open this migdal. The Erev is inaccessible and doesn't work. Let's just first take a look at Rashi, who explains this seemingly cryptic statement of Reb Leza. What's the difference if it's in the southern ear? Says Rashi, 15 lines from the top, from the bottom of the Amid. Rashi's words is, Im bi'ir avad. So, Im bi'ir avad hamafteich, we lost the key in the city, Erev, then it works. Why? Says Rashi, Di mashkachli. Because if he'll find the key in the city, Motzi Maisile Derech Chatzeris V'gagoyz V'karfivis. So Rashi explains to us that if he lost the key in the city and he found the key, he knows where it is, he has access, he can bring the key over to the Makom of the Erev. Derech Chatzeris, through courtyards, V'gagoyz roofs, V'karfivis, these storage areas. Shekul Rushus Achasein Kereb Shimon. Following Shimon Shita holds that all these non-dwelling areas, these unroofed areas, are considered to be one and the same entity. They're categorized as one and the same type of Rishus. And Shimon allows an item to be transferred throughout all these areas without any need for Erev Chatziris. So that's Shavuot Blazer. He's following Shitas Reb Shimon. And if the key is somewhere in the city, he can go bring it. He can work his way through the courtyards, the roofs, the storage areas, and bring it over to the Migdal and open it up. However, but if he lost the key in the field, then he has no way to retrieve that key. Any Ruv Erev, because even if he finds the key, he can't bring it over to the Migdal. Let's get back to the Gemara. So Bryce tells us that Lezer disagrees with Rav Meir. He says he'd have access to the key. So if the key is in the city, then he can bring it over, no problem. But if the key is out in the field, then he cannot bring it to the Migdal, and he can't have access to his food. Says the Gemara on the bottom line of the Amud, V'ibi Yom Tov, but if we just established that the case here is discussing Yom Tov, right, that was the reason why Remei allowed him to remove those bricks on account of Simchas Yom Tov. So we're speaking about on Yom Tov, Mali Ir Mali Sodeh. What difference does it make if the key is out in the field or in the city? On Yom Tov, you can carry the key regardless. So what is the pshat and Rav Elazar distinction between field and city? Says the Machsur and Mechsur Vachitani. Apparently this brisa needs to be amended as though it's missing some words. Vachitani, and this is how we're meant to learn it. This Sonny of Migdal, the Tanakhama begins and says, he placed the Erev in a Migdal, the structure, v'nol b'fanav, and he locked the door to the structure, v'avad maftech, and he lost his key. He raised the Erev, then it works. Why? Because he can pull out those bricks, which were uncemented. Medmamarurim, when is this said? B'yomtiv, where we allow him to remove those bricks. Aval b'shabas, ein eruv eruv on Shabbos, he can't remove those bricks. So let's take a look at Rashi on top here. Top line, aval b'shabas, ein eruv eruv, delay shorli rabbanon, lemister, rabban did not allow him to demolish the structure, even though it's uncemented bricks. Perhaps because of mukta, perhaps it's an additional concern because of soyser. In any case, on Shabbos, he cannot remove those bricks. Therefore, this halacha pertains strictly to Yom Tov. Now, Nimtza Mafteach, let's say he actually found the key. Oh, I found the key, now I can go open up the Migdal. Tanakhama says, Bein Be'ir, Bein Besada. Whether he found the key somewhere in the city or out in the field, Ein Eruv Be'iruv. And it doesn't work because he cannot possibly bring that key over to the Migdal. Because Tanakhama does not hold like Rav Shimon. He says, just as you can't transfer the key through the field, you can't transfer it through all these unroofed areas within the city, the gagos, the chatzeres, the karfivos, without first making an eruv. Therefore, he says, even if you know where the key is, since you can't bring the key over here, and we're speaking on Shabbos, so you can't carry the key, and we're speaking on Shabbos, so you can't pull out those bricks, therefore, Tanakhama maintains, this eruv won't work. Reb Lezer Omer, he disagrees. He says, look, I hold you can't pull out bricks, even on Yom Tov. But, let's say he knows where the key is. He located his key. Then it depends. Be'ir iruv ve'iruv. If the key was located somewhere in the city, then it works because he can bring it through. He can maneuver his way through the gagos, the chatzeres, and kafifos, and bring it to the Migdal and access his food. Because Reb Elazar holds like Reb Shimon. Besides the iruv ve'iruv, when it comes to the field, I agree, it doesn't work because he has no way of transporting the key over to the Migdal on Shabbos. Explains the Gemara. Be'ir iruv ve'iruv, Reb Shimon, the Amar, Echad Gagois, Vechad Chatzerois, Vechad Chafifois, all these unroofed areas are considered to be one and the same category of jurisdictions. Rushus Achasim, Lekelim Sheshavsa B'Soichem, pertains strictly to a kli which rested in these areas at the onset of Shabbos, meaning if a utensil was present, any of these Chatzerois, Gagois, and Chafifois, at the entry point of Shabbos, in which case this kli is not considered to be designated for use in a mokum dira, in a roofed area. It's been sitting out in the unroofed area, so it's like a non-dwelling type of kli. So once it's been categorized as that type of utensil, it can be transferred throughout all these non-dwelling areas. So that's Shita Reb Shimon, which we discussed many times. And Reb Elazar conforms with that shita, and therefore he says if you find the key somewhere in the city, you're okay to bring it back to the Migdal by transferring, pouring it through all these areas. However, besad, if you found the key out in the field, there's no way to get it. Einur ve'erev kirabanon, in this case, the erev doesn't work. Kirabanon. Now, the Rechnal explains the word rabbanon here is actually in reference to a different rabbanon, who hold later on in Masechta that the Gemara discusses whether a person can go ahead and transfer something by passing it from one person to the next. So Rabbanan don't allow that option to be employed. Well, he's referencing that shita. So if you find the key on the side, there's no way to bring it over to the middle because you can't go transfer from person to person according to the shita's Rabbanan found elsewhere in the Masechta. In any case, Reb Lezer holds that I don't agree you can pull out those bricks. I disagree with Reb Meir. That's what Reb Lezer says. And now Mishnah, unless he has access to the key, this Erev is considered to be inaccessible. But if he found the key, then it depends. If it's out in the field, surely the Erev doesn't work because he can't bring the key over here. But if he found it in the city, in which case he has a way to bring it back to the Migdal by maneuvering through the Gagas, the Chartzeris, and the Karfifas, and according to Shitur Reb Shimon, who allows that to be done, therefore the Erev will work. So in summary, the Mishnah told us about a case where he placed an Erev in a Migdal. The Gemara tells us we're speaking about a Migdal which was constructed with these loose, uncemented bricks, Avira de Livni. That depends whether we're speaking about Yontif or Shabbos. If the Erev was established for the sake of Yontif, and the concern here is whether he's allowed to remove those bricks, because he doesn't have the key. He needs to remove the bricks to get his food. Ramea says, this Erev works because he's allowed to actually be poiches, venoital. He can remove the bricks to access his food. Whereas Reb Lezer disagrees. He says, one is not allowed to remove bricks from the structure on Yom Tov. Therefore, he says, if he doesn't have the key, the Erev won't work. Now, the Erev which was established for the sake of Shabbos, and he actually located his key somewhere. In this case, Reb Meir will hold as follows. Removal of those bricks are awesome. And therefore, he can't really access his food because he can't remove the bricks. Nor can he access his key because his key is sitting out either in the Sada, in which case it can't be brought over, or even in the ear, in which case it can't be brought over here because we require Erev Chatzeris to be established to allow the key to be transported through the courtyards. Which Reb Lezer holds that even if it's Shabbos, but once he located the key somewhere, so if he located it out in the field, in which case he can't transport the key, the Erev is inaccessible and won't take effect. But if he found the key somewhere in the city, in which case he can transport it through the Chatzeris, the Gagas, the Karfifos, and according to Shizur Shimon, in this case he has full access to his Erev food because he can bring the key over here and open this locked closet. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. The Gemara began with a discussion of the concept of Hoyl, which was introduced by Rav Yirmiyah, who told us if a person hangs his Erev in a basket up high on a tree, where it's Erev Sayachet, and his Makan Shvis is down below at the trunk of the tree, at the base, which is Erev Sarabim, that Erev is valid because he can go tip the basket, bring it down to his Makam Shvis. The Gemara is the Kasha from a Braisa, which seemed to indicate that Hoyl cannot be applied to Erev. The Braisa discussed two different situations. Number one, where the Makam Shvisa was in Rosh Hashanah. The Braisa tells us, if he placed the Erev on a wall, so it depends how high. If it's above Tent Fachum, which is Rosh Hashanah, then it won't work because he's in Rosh Hashanah. The Erev is Rosh Hashanah. If the Erev was below Tent Fachum, then it works because they're both in Rosh Hashanah. The Braisa continues the case where his Makam Shvisa was up on a closet, which is Rosh Hashanah, and his Erev was in a nearby wall. Then it depends as follows. If the Erev was above Tent Fachem, then it's fine because they're both in Shusha Yochet. If it was below Tent Fachem, in which case it's in Shusha Rabim, then it won't work because he's up on the closet, which is Shusha Yochet. The Erev is Shusha Rabim. The Gemara asks, well, why can't he tip the closet to bring the surface down to the level of the Erev? The Gemara gave us two answers. Either we're speaking about a nailed closet, which can't be turned sideways, or we're speaking about a very tall closet, in which case, if he tries to tip it over and apply the concept of hoyle, the top surface of the closet will have to be pushed away, removed more than 4 amos from the original Makam Shvisa. And in this case, the original Makam Shvisa doesn't have access to the foot of the Erev, and therefore the Erev doesn't work. Mar tells us, we're speaking about that he doesn't have a rope to hold on to his Erev, because had he attached a rope to his Erev, then it would work because theoretically he can retrieve it during Ben HaShemashos since the rope is still in his hand. The Gemara proceeded to explain the halacha in the Mishnah, which told us that if you place an Erev in a deep pit, it works. The Gemara concluded with speaking about a pit which is situated in a field, which is a Karmelis. His Makam Shvisa was up above in the Karmelis. The Erev was down below in the pit, which is Rosh Hashanah, the following Shita's Rebbe, who says, although transferring the food to the Makam Shvisa involves a Issa de Rabbanan, transferred from a Shliach der Karmelis, it's Rabban does not apply Ben HaShemashis, which is the very point that the Erev takes effect. We discussed an Erev being placed on a Kana. The Gemara tells us there are two types of Kana. When the Kana are Uzridin, are hardened, fully developed, and classified as a tree. Whereas when they're Ainus ridden, when they're just soft, they're classified as a yarak, as a vegetation. And has two ramifications. When we classify it as a tree, then you can plant it in a kerem. There's no kalayim there. But you can't use that on Shabbos. Because one's not meant to use or climb up on a tree on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, even going to Rebbe, who generally says that there's no issa de rabbanim ben hashmashes. But using a pole, a bamboo stick, for instance, to place your erev on it, involves an increased concern, perhaps due to the fact that it's easy to trim, easy to snip. He'll go ahead and do that, and do a malach on Shabbos. Therefore, the mission tells us he cannot place an erev on this hard bamboo stick, even according to Rebbe. When we're speaking about a soft bamboo, which is classified as a yarak, that cannot be planted in a kerem for concern of kalayim. But one may use it on Shabbos, such as in the case of Rav Nachman, where they sat on these kanim, on these soft bamboos, which were bent down. So the Talmidim considered them on Shabbos because it classified as a yarak, in which case it would not include it in Issa d'Rabbanan, which don't allow using a tree on Shabbos. Included with a case where he placed an Erev in a Migdal, the Gemara tells us, we're speaking about a Migdal which was constructed using uncemented bricks. The Gemara tells us it depends. If it's Yom Tov, he doesn't have a key, but he'd like to undo that structure, Kontra Mei, he can do that. And therefore he has access to that food. Kontra Blazer, he cannot. When it's Shabbos, and he cannot remove those bricks, but he found his key. He found it either in the Sada or in the Erev, Kontra Mei, that won't grant him access to his Erev. Whereas according to Rabbi Lezer, if it's out in the field, then he has no access to his Erev because he can't bring the key over here. But if the key is sitting in the city, in which case he can maneuver through the courtyards, the rooftops, and the storage areas and bring it over to the Migdal. In this case, he can have access to his Erev. Therefore, according to Rabbi Lezer, this Erev is valid for Shabbos.